Let us turn to Holy Scripture, to the New Testament, to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. We read the verses 14 to 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The text for this Lord's Supper sermon is found in this passage we have read together, the last part of verse 20, the last part of verse 20, and will sup with him and he with me. Over the words of our text, you can write as theme, Christ sups with his people. Christ sups with his people. We will see, first of all, it is a gracious supper. And secondly, it is a glorious supper. Christ sups with his people. It is a gracious supper. And it is a glorious supper. I will sup with him, and he with me. Yes, that is what the Lord Jesus desires. That is why he has come to the church at Laodicea. That is why he has rebuked. That is why he has counseled. That is why he calls. That is why he has knocked. He wants to sup with his people. Surprising, don't you think? Yes, it is surprising that he wants to sup with such people, with the Laodiceans. It is surprising that he wants to enter and eat with them. Surprising, especially when you think of who are these people now, that he says, I will sup with him. Who is the him? What marks them? What can we say of this him? Who are these people? Well, let's say three things about them. For one thing, they are prayerless. Prayerless. What else would you expect when you are lukewarm? Is that not the conclusion that the Laodicean would have to draw? I mean, imagine for a moment a Laodicean who hears the knock of Christ at the door. You can imagine such a Laodicean, shocked, afraid, After all, it's the Lord standing there, and I've been ignoring Him. The Lord is seeking me, but I have not been seeking Him. How little have I gone out after Him? Yes, when the Lord comes to commune with His people, also at the Lord's table, then they cannot point to how much they have prayed as the reason for the communion. They cannot say, Lord, look at how good these prayers of mine have been, how many there have been. Prayerless. Secondly, proud. Proud. Prayerless, and yet so proud. Now that's why the Lord Jesus let them hear the words that they themselves speak. Verse 17, Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That explains why they did not really pray. That explains why they had no need. That explains why God's people can be so unbelieving. Pride. Third thing, poor. Poor. And the Lord wants His people to see it. He wants them to see themselves as He sees them. And that's why He says, Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What is He doing? He is giving them a spiritual X-ray of their heart and life so that they realize, I am poor. I have nothing that I can present to God. I cannot point to my life, I cannot point to my heart, I cannot point to my repentance, I cannot point to my faith, I cannot point to anything that I have as a fitness to bring to Him. I have nothing to commend. So the people with whom He wants to sup are this: prayerless, proud, and poor. They're a guilty people, a poor people. And how different they are from Him. Only look at Him. And what can we say when we look at Him? Well, we can say for one thing, He is all glorious. That's how John comes to see Him too on the Isle of Patmos when the exalted Lord comes to meet Him. We read of it in chapter 1. Where all of a sudden He hears a voice. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. And He had in His right hand seven stars. And out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. He's all glorious. Secondly, He is all-knowing. He says that too to the Laodiceans, I know thy works. He knows them. He knows how they have come to church. He knows how they have left Him, how they have become lukewarm. He knows that underneath maybe the nice covers of their clothes, He knows what lives in their hearts. I know thy works. He is all glorious. He is all knowing. Thirdly, He is all faithful. After all, He says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Do you see how different He is from them? They are unfaithful. They are people who have a mask on. How different He is. He's honest. He's sincere. That's why He says to them what He says. That's why He rebukes them. He is not afraid to rebuke them. And when He rebukes them, why does He do it? Because of love. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And fourth thing we can say of Him, He is long suffering. What patience He has shown in His dealings with them. How long has He stood at their door knocking already? And they did not hear Him, or they would not open. He is long suffering. Do you see how different the Lord Jesus is from you? Have you discovered that in this past week, the preparation for the Lord's Supper, that you are prayerless, that you are proud, that you are poor? How sinful you are that you've only done one thing this past week. You've increased your debt before God. And has that also come to pain you? Yes, pain you, that your heart is closed to Him. That you have let Him stand outside. That He has removed Himself from you. Has that pained you so that you say, I've come to miss Him? Where is He whom my soul has come to love? And has that also caused you to say, now how can He meet with me? How can He sup with me? You see the picture, don't you? The Savior and the sinner. The host, the guest. And He wants to sup with them. How? I mean, this is not a supper between equals. Do you understand what I mean? This is not a supper between equals. I mean, in the world, the great and mighty of the world, they sup with the great and mighty of the world. You don't expect the great of the world to knock on the door of a criminal and say, I want to eat with you. That's the picture we have here in our text. The greatest one of the world wants to sup with a sinner. And that's not the only picture that is given us in the Bible in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Other pictures are given of this too. Then I think of an Old Testament passage out of the life of David. David has become king, king over Israel. And he asks, is there yet anyone of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness to him? And there is one, Mephibosheth by name. But it is clear that Mephibosheth has nothing to commend of himself. I mean, he comes from the line of Saul, a man who has so resisted David. He has nothing to commend of himself, and it comes out even more because he is lame on both his feet. You can understand that when David brings out such a question and they refer to Mephibosheth, that some of the advisors in David's courts would say, David, you can't have a lame man in your court. You can't have such a man in the palace. He doesn't fit here. He doesn't fit with you, O king. And yet David wants him in his courts, and he wants him at his table. Surprising. And now, what is the explanation? Why does David want to commune with Mephibosheth? Well, he says it to show the kindness of God. The kindness of God. What does that look like? The kindness of God that shows favor to undeserving sinners. That's what our text is about. No, the Laodiceans are not equal with the Lord Jesus. If they had to wait till they were equal with Him, then they would never come to sup with Him. How can they sup? Only by grace. It's a gracious supper. It is undeserved. And there is no other way than for a sinful people to come and sit at this table, leaning on grace. Oh, I know God's people want to come as a godly people. But if they wait till they're godly, they will never come at all. He wants to sup with sinners because of grace. It's a gracious supper, and it's a glorious supper. He says it too. I will sup. So it's a supper. It's not a snack. A snack is something that we eat more quickly. And sometimes maybe we say it too, I'll just have a quick snack and I'll be on my way. And what that means is you don't take your coat off, you keep your shoes on, it's drive-through service, there's no stopping. But here it's a supper. Different than a snack. And that was especially the case in the East. The supper was the best meal of the day. At the supper you relaxed. At the supper you lingered. You stayed at the supper. It wasn't, how quickly can we get this over with to go? No, you stayed. You wanted to be there. Now that's the picture that the Lord Jesus uses of a supper. I will sup. It's not short. Long. It's not quick. Slow. And you see, when you love someone, then it's not so hard to stay at the table. And you take your time. Especially if there has come distance. As it happened in the lives of the Laodiceans, there had come distance between them and the Lord. Is that not how it is with the believer and the Lord Jesus? Especially when the Lord Jesus wants to set things right, like He did want to do with the Laodiceans, then He wants to take His time. That is what the Lord loves to do. Sup with His people. Shall I give one illustration? Let me give an illustration then from the Old Testament again, and then I do it from the life of the bride in the Song of Solomon, where in chapter 2, verse 4, she thinks back on the banqueting house. She's been brought to the banqueting house. It's quite something to be brought to the banqueting house of the king. That must have been quite a special banquet. It must have been quite a special time. And she remembers it well. She's reflecting on it. And she remembers that His banner over me was love. That was the theme of the banquet. The theme of the evening, you might say. Everything He did spoke of love. Everything He said spoke of love. All His words, His every whisper, His every deed, His every thoughtfulness, it spoke of love. And isn't that what God's people long for? To sup with Him? Sometimes He comes to commune and then it seems so short, and it can be short. Short is better than nothing, isn't it? Yeah, but there are also times when the Lord Jesus wants to sup, and He wants to stay, and He wants it to be like a supper. He wants it to be like a banquet in His banqueting house of love, and He wants you to feel His love, and He wants you to taste His love. And that's what He does at the table. The bread is taken, and it's broken. And the wine is taken and it's poured out. And what must we do with it? We must take it in. We must survey it. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Yes, survey it then. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? That's why he has instituted a supper, to sit, to see, to taste, to meditate, to see that the Lord is good. So it's a glorious supper because it is a supper. And it is a glorious supper because it is a two-way communion. It's a two-way communion. The Lord says, I will sup with him and he with me. Isn't that the desire of the Christian? To sup with Christ. Is that not why the bride prays, draw me, we will run after thee? What joy this is to the Christian. The King has brought me into his banqueting house. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love. That's what the Christian desires, to sup with Christ. But that's also what Christ desires. That's why he has stood at the door of the Laodiceans. That's why he has diagnosed their lukewarmness. That's why he has called them. That's why he has wooed them. That's why he comes. Because he wants to sup. That's what he said to his disciples in the night in which he was betrayed. With desire have I desired to eat this meal with you. He does want to sup. I know some of you can't believe it, but that's the reason why he went to the cross. It's the reason why he spread his hands on the wood, why he let himself be pierced, why he let himself be rejected of men, and so that he would be the substitute for sinners, that sinners can be reconciled to God, and that they might commune with him. What's the way to the table? How must I come to the table then? As a sinner. As a poor, needy sinner. Is that not what the Lord has shown you this past week? Dear people of God? You've seen more inward corruption in you. You've seen more prayerlessness, more pride, more poverty. Your lack of love for the Lord. And that you see that you don't get any better, you only become worse. And you wonder sometimes if you have faith at all. You wonder whether the Lord has worked in your heart at all. That's the work of the Lord Jesus. To uncover you. Why? So that you look away from self. And you look to him. And that you see you need him alone. And he says, then you must come and commune with me as you are. Unfit, unworthy in yourself, but clinging to me. That's why he says, I want to sup with you. Oh, it would be quite something if the Lord Jesus would say, you know, you can serve me. While I sit at the table, while I sup, you can serve me. That would be special, wouldn't it? To serve the Lord. But he says, I don't want you to serve me. I want you to sup with me. I want to sup with you. And you with me. Amen.